from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 27th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
shares of Meta plunge on another big tech earnings disappointment.
Apple and Amazon are up next, set to report this afternoon.
Credit Suisse unveils a massive overhaul. We speak to the bank's CEO.
And the European Central Bank is set to raise rates to the highest level in more than a decade.
New Jersey Senator Menendez faces another federal investigation. Plus, President Biden warns Russia any nuclear attack would be an incredibly serious mistake. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Overtime at the Garda. The Knicks beat Charlotte. The Nets lost in Milwaukee. The Islanders shut out the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And S&P futures are higher this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 140. NASDAQ futures lower, down 12. 10-year Treasury down 14 30 seconds, yield 4.05%. And the yield on the 2-year, 4.44%. NYMEX crude oil, little change. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with another tech earnings disappointment. A day after Microsoft and Google shares plunged, we are seeing shares of Meta platforms down almost 20% this morning. The Facebook owner gave a revenue forecast on the low end of estimates, and we get more from Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow in our 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
What spooked investors, at least in the first instance, was the tepid forecast Meta gave for sales in the current period. Revenue will be between $30 and $32.5 billion in the final 3 months of this year, below street expectations. And the story is one we know. The softening ad market is hurting Meta. We went into this knowing that would be the case. But as the call started and went on, it became clear that actually what's spooking investors is Meta and Zuckerberg's commitment to fuel and fund this transition to the metaverse. Zuckerberg said that actually on a year-on-year basis, Meta Reality Labs would continue to have growing losses. Ed Ludlow for Bloomberg News in San Francisco.
All right, Ed, thanks. And big tech earnings continue today. We have a pair of giants reporting this afternoon, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has more.
Apple and Amazon are both scheduled to report after the markets close today. Analysts at Wedbush Securities say higher iPhone prices and an improving supply chain may have helped Apple beat revenue forecasts. B of A Securities says Amazon likely posted faster revenue growth for online stores and third-party sellers. But both companies face headwinds. Apple is dealing with the stronger dollar and weakness in China. And a ho-hum second Prime Day event at Amazon suggested more spending is going offline. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. As Karen mentioned, U.S. futures are higher ahead of those earnings, and despite disappointing earnings from Meta. Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson is a well-known stock market skeptic who correctly predicted this year's slump. Now he thinks the bear market in U.S. equities could conclude sooner than many think.
Ultimately, the bear market will be over probably sometime in the first quarter. Now, all of this is, you know, subject to revision, right? So I want to make it perfectly clear, if the market starts to trade off again and the S&P breaks down and blows through 3650 on the downside, we'll be bearish again.
Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson was ranked the number one portfolio strategist in the latest institutional investor survey.
Well, in Europe, Nathan, a bank in turmoil is front and center this morning. Shares of Credit Suisse are lower, down more than 14%. The Swiss bank is unveiling a massive turnaround plan, which includes a $4 billion capital raise, a carve-out of its investment bank, and thousands of job cuts. It's the most urgent attempt yet to repair Credit Suisse after huge losses and management chaos. And we spoke this morning with CEO Ulrich Kroner.
What is new Credit Suisse? You know, it's a much simpler, more stable, much more focused bank going forward, which will deliver sustainably profitable results to our shareholders.
Credit Suisse CEO Ulrich Körner made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. Stay tuned for more of that conversation coming up shortly on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Well, let's stay in Europe, Karen, because it's a big day for the European Central Bank. The ECB is expected to lift its main interest rate to its highest level in more than a decade. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans.
A 75 basis point hike is a consensus view for today's policy decision from the ECB. Anything else would be a big surprise, so looking past the recession fears to keep targeting inflation. Less clear, though, is whether we'll get any indications around a timeline for quantitative tightening, and something investors are watching closely, any moves to limit the gains banks are making from the ECB's crisis program of cheap loans. In London, I'm Leanne Gerrans, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Leanne, thanks. Back here in the U.S., economic growth is in focus. The government issues data on third quarter GDP this morning. Forecasts call for a gain of 2.4%, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
GDP posted back-to-back losses in the first and second quarters. Bloomberg Economics says the third quarter's headline rebound may conceal trouble in the details, such as sales and business inventories. There are other U.S. data on tap today. Manufacturing data, factory orders for durable goods, may indicate moderation, reflecting U.S. inflation fears. In the U.S. labor market, Bloomberg Economics' weekly jobless claims will probably continue to hover around historic lows. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Let's turn to geopolitics now and a potential setback for President Biden's economic pressure on Russia. The administration's now being forced to rework its plans for price caps on Russian oil. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It looks like they're going to have to scale back their plans in light of the volatility in the markets. Instead of strangling the Kremlin's oil revenues by imposing a strict lid on prices, U.S. and European Union are likely to have to settle for more loosely policed cap at a higher price than once envisioned. An earlier iteration of the plan had the cap in the range of $40 to $60 per barrel, but now it looks like it will have to be much higher. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. And finally, the world's richest man is telling Twitter employees he does not plan to cut 75% of staff. Bloomberg News has learned that Elon Musk denied those numbers in an address to workers at the company's San Francisco office. Still, the billionaire is still expected to cut some staff when he takes over the company. The $44 billion deal is expected to close tomorrow. Again, S&P futures are higher this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. It's 58 degrees in Central Park, and it's problematic on westbound 80. We've got an overturned tractor trailer by exit 35. Michael Barr's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey Democratic Senator Robert Menendez faces another federal investigation about 5 years after a trial on federal corruption charges ended in a mistrial. A Menendez advisor says Senator Menendez is aware of an investigation. However, he does not know the scope of the investigation. The probe is being conducted by federal prosecutors in the Southern District of New York. President Joe Biden warned Russia's Vladimir Putin that any use of a nuclear weapon would be an incredibly serious mistake. It comes as Russia says it carried out military exercises simulating a retaliatory nuclear strike. Meanwhile, former U.S. Special Representative for Ukraine negotiations and former ambassador to NATO, Kurt Volker, talked about Russia's claims without evidence that Kyiv's forces intend to use a so-called dirty bomb.
What Putin is doing is he is trying to get inside the heads of leaders in the West to make them feel that this is too dangerous and we have to tell the Ukrainians to surrender somehow, give up territory, you know, concede to Putin something.
Former NATO Ambassador Kurt Volker spoke on Sound On, which airs at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg. Iranian security forces opened fire on protesters. In the past 40 days, thousands of people have taken to the streets to denounce the death of a 22-year-old woman in custody of the country's morality police. She was accused of breaking Iran's strict dress code. State Department spokesperson Vendant Patel reiterated the U.S. efforts to support protesters in more than 100 cities in Iran.
The regime's ongoing violent crackdown, pervasive surveillance of citizens, and disruption of communications are the latest reminder of the Islamic Republic's flagrant disregard for the fundamental freedoms and human rights of Iranians.
Spokesman Patel says Iran's leadership is facing a problem of its own making. With just weeks until the midterm elections, a second woman has come forward claiming that she got pregnant and then had an abortion paid for by Georgia GOP Senate candidate Herschel Walker. Walker addressed Jane Doe's allegations during a campaign event, saying he is done with this foolishness. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
All right, good morning, Nathan. The Knicks are back this season with pretty much the same roster, with one exception, the addition of Jalen Brunson, the new Knicks point guard on display at the Garden. 27 points, 13 assists, 7 rebounds. Knicks beat Charlotte 134-131 in overtime. They're off to a 3-1 start. Worth noting, they began last season 5-1 and still ended up being a down year, missing the playoffs. The Nets are just 1-3, lost in Milwaukee 110-99. Too much Giannis Antetokounmpo, 43 points. Kevin Durant had 33. Steve Nash got ejected for the first time in his coaching career. LeBron James had not started a season 0-4 since his rookie year in Cleveland 20 years ago. Lakers are 0-4. They lost in Denver. Rangers started 3-1. They've lost their last four. Have scored only 5 goals over those 4 games. Shut out at the UBS Arena by the Islanders' Ilya Sorokin. Kyle Palmieri scored twice. The Isles won 3-0. Week 8 starts tonight at Tampa Bay, where Tom Brady and the Bucs are just 3-4. They take on Baltimore. Giants look for a 7-1 start Sunday in Seattle. A lot of reasons for the Giants' improvement. One is certainly Daniel Jones having thrown only 2 interceptions.
I'm trying to make quicker decisions, trying to get the ball out of my hands as soon as possible. I don't think that's any different from things I've done in the past. I think, you know, you're better at it every week, and I'm certainly better at it than I've been in the past. So that's the goal for me, is to continue to be quicker and make the right decision and get the ball in my hand.
And Jones just named NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Hal Steinbrenner's first comment since the end of the season. The Yankees owner said he doesn't see the Yanks not keeping manager Aaron Boone. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
John, thank you. S&P futures are up 7 points. Dow futures up 138. NASDAQ futures are lower, down 21 points. Meta platform shares down nearly 20% on earnings. Bloomberg Quick Takes. Alex Webb joins us next on Meta. This is Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today. Or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are slipping and U.S. stock index futures are pairing gains as traders digest a flurry of major earnings and prepare for another jumbo European Central Bank rate hike later today. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures, they're up about 8 points. Dow futures up 146. NASDAQ futures are lower, down 25. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 14/32, yield 4.06%, and the yield on the 2-year, 4.44%. NYMEX crude oil is little change this morning at $87.88 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.2%, or $2.90, at $16.6640 an ounce. The euro 1.0050 against the dollar, British pound 1.1582, and the yen 146.23. And looking at Bitcoin this morning, down 0.6% at $20,600. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Russia carried out military exercises simulating a retaliatory nuclear strike, as President Joe Biden warned Vladimir Putin that any use of a nuclear weapon would be an incredibly serious mistake. Secretary of State Antony Blinken accused China of undermining the decades-long status quo that has kept both nations from going to war over Taiwan, saying Beijing was trying to speed up its seizure of the island. A second woman has come forward claiming Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker paid for her to have an abortion. Walker denied the allegations, saying, "I am done with this foolishness." In the NBA, the Knicks won in overtime over the Hornets, 134-131. The Nets lost. In hockey, the Islanders blanked the Rangers, 3-0. Thursday night football, the Ravens take on the Buccaneers. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we continue to watch shares of Facebook parent Meta Platforms. They're getting punished in the pre-market this morning, down 20% on a disappointing revenue forecast. But it may be the shift away from Facebook for CEO Mark Zuckerberg that's giving investors some indigestion this morning. Let's bring in Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent Alex Webb for more on the Meta Platform story. Alex, good morning. This long-term play toward the metaverse is a really untested bet, isn't it?
Yes, and that is fundamentally what is driving the shares down, because from a sales perspective, Meta outperformed the market's expectations. It's the cost piece which has really driven them way down below expectations on all the profit measures. There's a little bit on the outlook, which clearly is not good news, but you know that probably plays into it as well, because they're investing, of course, partly in the competing products to TikTok, but largely in this metaverse effort, which is hardware and software and a colossal lift for the company.
Now, CEO Mark Zuckerberg in the past has come to investors and said, be patient. We've got a long-term strategy here. And in the past, it's kind of paid off when you think about how Facebook has been able to sort of copy the way its competitors do business and capitalize on that. Is this a different scenario, though, for asking investors to be patient on the prospects of a whole new way of looking at the Internet?
I think so, because of the capital intensity. You know, when he was pivoting the company towards mobile, as he did, best part of a decade ago, yes, it was gearing everything the company did towards a particular product, but it was still a software product, right? It was still just changing the things you're already doing. This is an entirely new product category, and it is hardware, which costs a lot more to develop. The play is going to be a lot longer as well. You know, they're able to pivot to mobile in the space of a year or two. There's pieces of the technology in this. You know, when we think about a year ago, the presentation they gave when they announced the new name of Meta, and they showed all the things they want to be able to do in the metaverse. Well, most, or certainly a lot of those things, you cannot do just yet. The technology isn't there. It's not something that a competitor could do either. So they are building towards something which remains some way away.
Yeah, and in the meantime, they've got to count on advertising revenue to provide the underpinnings for this technology that could be years away. What did these earnings that we've just gotten say about the advertising environment for the tech sector more broadly?
Well, it's not good. You know, we've seen plenty of other ad tech companies over the past few days, this earnings season, not post good numbers. The fact that even Google, which is probably the most resilient of them all, is feeling the pain, tells its own story. I think when you play that into the metaverse, one of the reasons Facebook is doing this is because they don't want to be beholden to the whims of their gatekeepers, who in this case are Google and Apple. And Apple in particular has made it a lot harder to track, to use data from across different apps in order to measure ad effectiveness. So if you own the hardware, the gateway essentially to your tech, then you're not beholden to those whims. If it makes that work, it then has an advantage over Apple, because it can use the ads income to subsidize the cost to the consumer of the hardware, so it may be able to undercut Apple on price. But it has one significant disadvantage to Apple, which in that it doesn't have the millions of developers developing for its platform, which Apple does.
Yeah, and we're going to get those Apple earnings, of course, later on after the closing bell today. Alex Webb of Bloomberg Quick Take, thanks for this. Really appreciate it. Karen.
All right, Nathan, it is 5:23 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and now we want to bring you our interview with Credit Suisse CEO Ulrich Körner. Credit Suisse announced its long-awaited overhaul, unveiling a plan that will see a multi-billion dollar capital raise, carve out of the investment bank, and thousands of job cuts. The restructuring will occur over the next 3 years. CEO Ulrich Körner talked to Bloomberg's Francine Lacqua about the new plan and when the bank plans to be profitable again.
This is, as you say, a big day. We are all glad that we are there. It's a big day also for all our people. when we're announcing now today what is basically New Credit Suisse. And what is New Credit Suisse? You know, it's a much simpler, more stable, much more focused bank going forward, which will deliver sustainably profitable results to our shareholders. And what is very important, if I may add here, how we came here, so to say, right. We took a very hard look, you know, at the needs of our clients and designed everything around the needs of our clients.
So what was your overarching theme? How did you come up with this plan? What was your reasoning in getting here?
Many different reasons. I think as I said, the bank is slightly too complicated today. The bank has parts which are not profitable enough, as we all know, from the shareholder perspective. And that's why we came up with, you know, the need of taking very decisive actions in mainly three different areas. The one is radical restructuring of the investment bank. The second one is significant reducing costs going forward, as you have seen. And the third...
SEI, asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/tech.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We continue to watch shares of Meta Platforms this morning. They are down almost 20% after the company gave a disappointing outlook. It also revealed ballooning costs to fund its virtual reality project, the Metaverse. CEO Mark Zuckerberg pleaded patience on a call with investors.
I think we're going to resolve each of these things over different periods of time, and I appreciate the patience, and I think that those who are patient and invest with us will end up being rewarded.
Mark Zuckerberg says Meta's long-term bets will pay off, but he didn't explain further.
Well, sticking with big tech, Nathan, we get two massive earnings reports after the bell today when Apple and Amazon report. And looking at Twitter, Bloomberg News has learned Tesla CEO Elon Musk, who's set to take over the company tomorrow, told employees he does not plan to cut 75% of staff as previously reported. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow has more.
He didn't explicitly rule out layoffs, generally speaking. He walked in to the Market Street office carrying a kitchen sink earlier, and I think that the joke was, this is really happening, and we should all let that sink in.
And Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says Elon Musk will meet with staff tomorrow when his $44 billion deal to buy Twitter is set to close.
Now turning to markets this morning, Karen, futures are mainly higher as earnings season continues. Notorious bear Mike Wilson says his team at Morgan Stanley thinks the downward trend in U.S. equities could conclude soon.
We're still bearish in the intermediate term. We don't think the bear market's over, but we do think this tactical rally is going to be big enough to try and pivot and trade it.
Morgan Stanley chief equity strategist Mike Wilson says that outlook could still change. Traders will also be watching economic data closely. We get a reading on third quarter U.S. GDP at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
Well, over in Europe, Nathan, banks are in focus with Credit Suisse down more than 12% after posting its fourth straight quarterly loss. The bank also unveiled a massive turnaround plan that includes a multi-billion dollar capital raise, a carve out of its investment bank, and massive job cuts. CEO Ulrich Körner spoke with us about the plans.
We want to go through the transformation of the next 3 years with a very, very strong capital base. It will become profitable definitely from 2024 onwards.
CEO Ulrich Körner says Credit Suisse plans to be profitable again starting in 2024.
And another note from overseas, Karen, the European Central Bank is expected to lift its main interest rate today to the highest level in more than a decade. Stay tuned for complete coverage of that announcement. It's coming up this morning on Bloomberg Surveillance.
And S&P futures are higher, up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 116, while NASDAQ futures are lower, down 37. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5% now. 10-year Treasury down 14/32, yield 4.06%, and the yield on the 2-year 4.44%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 16 cents at $87.75 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 533 on Wall Street, 58 degrees in Central Park. Heads up, we got an overturned tractor trailer westbound 80 at exit 35 in Rockaway. And Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey, who avoided conviction on corruption charges 5 years ago, is reportedly the subject of a new federal investigation. An advisor for the senator, Michael Solomon, says Senator Menendez is aware of an investigation. However, he does not know the scope of the investigation. No word on what sort of alleged wrongdoing was involved. Russia carried out military exercises simulating a retaliatory nuclear strike, as President Joe Biden warned Vladimir Putin that any use of a nuclear weapon would be an incredibly serious mistake. Echoing Biden's warning of grave consequences, Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke in an interview with Bloomberg.
We haven't seen reason to change our own nuclear posture, but it's something that we're tracking very carefully, and we've also communicated directly and very clearly to the Russians, to President Putin, about the consequences that would flow from any use of a nuclear device.
The Pentagon says the U.S. had been notified that Russia would conduct the exercise in compliance with arms control obligations. This is all a lie. That's the response from U.S. Senate candidate Herschel Walker to a second accusation from a former girlfriend who says Walker paid for her to get an abortion. Walker, appearing at a campaign stop in Dillard, Georgia, dismissed the matter as nothing more than a stunt brought on by his political opponents.
They got crushed at that debate. Now the Democrats are doing say whatever they can to win this fight, to win this seat. But I want them to know they don't know Herschel Walker.
Walker added, "I'm done with this foolishness." A judge ordered former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to testify before a special grand jury that's investigating whether President Trump and his allies illegally tried to sway Georgia's results in the 2020 election. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Knicks, who began their season with an overtime loss, had themselves an overtime win. At the Garden against Charlotte, Knicks led by 12, then trailed by 5 with just over 2 minutes left. Jalen Brunson, big three-pointer in OT. The Knicks won 134-131. Big night for Brunson. The new point guard scored 27. He had 13 assists, 7 rebounds.
When we're not playing our best and when we give up leads, you know, how can we respond? And those are signs of good teams. If we can do that consistently, I think we're going to put ourselves in a position where we can be the best team we can be. But I think this is a good step for us. We definitely got to continue to get better, but this is a good step.
After 3 home wins, it'll be tougher for the Knicks tomorrow in Milwaukee. Bucks are 3-0. They just beat the Nets 110-99. Nets had a big second quarter, up 12 at the half, and then outscored second half 67-44. The second half is where Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 34 of his 43 points. At the UBS Arena, Islanders shut out the slumping Rangers 3-0. 41 saves for Ilya Sorokin. Kyle Palmieri scored twice. The Rangers have scored only 5 goals in their last 4 games. NFL tonight, Baltimore at slumping Tampa Bay. Bucks just 3-4. Tom Brady hasn't had a record like that since 20 years ago in New England. The Patriots, speaking to them, visit the Jets Sunday. Pats have won the last 12 meetings. Mac Jones will reportedly be there starting QB despite getting benched the other night. Giants Sunday in Seattle. Giants have had 2 offensive linemen suffer knee injuries, but Nick Gates has been activated out since week 2 last season when Gates suffered a gruesome leg injury that needed 7 surgeries. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Wow. Thank you, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
Hampton's home selling faster than ever. Appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman say properties in posh Long Island beach towns listed for an average of only 70 days last quarter, down from 90 a year ago. And the median purchase price levitated at record highs. Inventory remained tight. Converting unwanted office space to residential won't be enough to solve New York City's housing shortage. Northwind Group's founder Rand Eliasev telling Biz Journals that means rental prices, especially in Manhattan, could keep rising. Connecticut furniture maker Ethan Allen out with quarterly earnings that beat estimates. Company says benefited from efficiencies and a higher backlog of orders. And the downturn in financial markets is hurting pension funds in New Jersey. The public worker pension fund lost nearly $10 billion in market value in the year that ended in June, putting its value at about $86 billion. With the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Denise Pellegrini.
Thanks, Denise. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team. for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about the former Kanye West being escorted out of the California-based headquarters of athletic shoemaker Skechers.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that just in time for Halloween, more zombie foreclosures are stumbling onto the scene.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on Credit Suisse's major overhaul plan, which will see it raising 4 billion francs in new capital.
I'm Denise Pellegrini, and on WWJ in Detroit, Ford is trimming its profit outlook.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Last Sunday in Beijing, Chinese President Xi Jinping erased any doubts about the scope of his power, filling all the top positions in the Communist Party with loyalists and enforcers. The move suggests China will prioritize ideology over the clear-eyed, practical decision-making that has enabled its stunning post-Mao economic rise. In dealing with this new China, the U.S. and its partners would be wise to remember that the more flexible and realistic they are, the more effective they'll be. Above all, the U.S. must keep seeking opportunities to limit confrontation with China. If Biden meets the Chinese leader at the G20 summit next month in Jakarta, he should give him a better sense of what Chinese actions would elicit a friendlier attitude. U.S.-China tensions may now be unavoidable, but they shouldn't be uncontainable. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N, go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures up 4 points. That's a gain of 0.1%. Dow futures up 116. NASDAQ futures still lower, down 36 points, a drop of 0.3%. Andrew Sheets of Morgan Stanley's with us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today. Or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are slipping this morning. U.S. stock index futures are mixed as traders digest a flurry of major earnings and prepare for another jumbo European Central Bank rate hike later today. The NASDAQ is lower as shares of Meta Platforms fall more than 20% in early trading after it reported earnings. Right now, NASDAQ futures are down 36 points. S&P futures are up about 4. Dow futures up 114. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury down 14 32nds, yield 4.06%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.44%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $87.90 a barrel. The euro, 1.0034 against the dollar. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russian President Vladimir Putin personally oversaw Moscow's first major nuclear drill since he invaded Ukraine, simulating a massive nuclear strike. Western allies warn Russia could use such an event as a false flag to blame Ukraine for an attack that Moscow carries out itself. The International Energy Agency says it believes global emissions will peak in 2025. The group's annual World Energy Outlook report finds that the global energy crisis triggered by Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the ensuing increase in fuel prices are propelling investment in renewable energy. In the NBA, the Knicks won in overtime over the Hornets, 134-131. The Nets lost. In hockey, the Islanders blanked the Rangers 3-0. Thursday night football, the Ravens take on the Buccaneers. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's take a closer look at this market now. For that, we're joined by Andrew Sheets, Chief Cross Asset Strategist at Morgan Stanley. Great to speak with you this morning, Andrew, on a week where we've seen tech shares in particular get hammered on earnings, and we're seeing NASDAQ futures fall a little bit lower still this morning. Does this have further to wash out, or could this be a buy opportunity now that tech shares have fallen so far?
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be with you this morning. So I think we are seeing an interesting shift in leadership within the market. You know, one of the concerns we have had on the U.S. market side, a major concern of my colleague Mike Wilson, our U.S. equity strategist, has been that earnings expectations are too high in the market. And we do think that that's an adjustment process that needs to play out. But, you know, I think it's also at the same time encouraging that we've been able to see other parts of the market continue to hold up better as these kind of old leaders of the market have seen more weakness. So, you know, in the near term, we still think that there's a window for a little bit more tactical strength, but I think with different leadership than we've seen before.
Which leadership do you think? What's going to start coming out on top now?
Well, we still think that some of the defensive assets within defensive equity sectors can still perform well. We continue to like healthcare as a sector that could benefit as the market looks ahead into the first quarter, sees decelerating economic activity, maybe starts to get a little bit more confident that the Fed is getting closer to a terminal rate by the early part of next year. And, you know, I think that could set the market up well for some continued preference in the defensive parts of the market.
Do you think we're going to see further evidence of that deceleration in the GDP numbers that come out this morning, or does the Fed need to see even more before it can start thinking about pivoting?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. We think they need to see more. You know, you still had pretty strong job gains. You've still had pretty robust economic activity. The data has been mixed. I think it's been holding up a lot better than you know, investors would have expected a couple of months ago. And so, you know, it might be into the early parts of next year where the Fed can really get a lot more confident that that deceleration is coming through. And again, you know, trying to marry up some of the micro and macro, you know, our stock analysts that are looking at, you know, some of the payments companies in the U.S., they're still seeing quite strong underlying activity there as people still spend on credit cards and the like. So, you know, we don't think we're yet seeing enough that will allow the Fed to back off just yet.
How much more do you think the Fed needs to see? How much higher or potentially do market conditions need to get tightened before we start to think about the Fed potentially making a move here?
Yeah, so one of the key, you know, themes from our economists has been that the real economy might be more important to this pivot than the financial economy, that the so-called Fed put just really isn't in action for the equity market, and that the Fed would really only intervene if you started to see further weakness in the investment-grade credit market, much more weakness than we've seen already. So I think it is that real economy side that's going to be more important, and I think what we need to see there is, you know, more signs of weaker job growth, more months of non-farm payrolls coming in under 100,000. Those types of things we think would make the Fed a little bit more confident that the rate hikes they've already done that are going to affect the economy in the future are maybe already starting to have that impact. But I think it's really focusing on the hard data on the real side of the economy that we think is going to be most important to that downshift of Fed action.
Does that feed into the thesis from Mike Wilson that we could get that bottom a little sooner than the market's been thinking? I mean, if the Fed does wait a little longer, what makes you think that the market could see bottom around the first quarter of next year?
Yeah, so some of this is based on the idea that the markets will lead the economy. And so if economic data is troughing around, say, the middle of next year or in the second quarter of next year, then I think there would be good historical precedent for, you know, markets, you know, bottoming 3 to 6 months ahead of that because the markets are anticipatory. And again, you know, this is a cycle where everything has seemed to play out incredibly fast. So,
yeah,
you know, I think the idea that you could also have that emphasizing that trend.
Thanks, Andrew. Great having you on with us this morning. Andrew Sheets is Chief Cross Asset Strategist at Morgan Stanley. Karen.
Well, Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. It is time now for a legal story we're watching this morning. The criminal tax fraud trial of the Trump Organization began this week in Manhattan with jury selection. Prosecutors claim the company routinely lowballed its tax exposure by paying senior executives with perks like company cars and rent-free apartments. The company's former chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, will be the reluctant star witness for the prosecution. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Greg Farrell.
Trump has not been charged personally in the case, but it seems like his presence is looming over the jury selection. Are all the jurors being asked questions about their feelings toward him?
Yes, June, absolutely. That's, in fact, the questionnaire that all the potential jurors had to fill out had a number of questions that tried to elicit their feelings about Trump as a person, as a politician. Then there's another set of questions that's interesting about whether or not you feel that corporations have an obligation to pay their fair share of taxes. So you can usually reverse engineer these questionnaires into what interests each set of lawyers had. And obviously, the lawyers for the Trump Corporation wanted to see how deep the bias is. And I saw a clear example of it. All the jurors say to the question, can you render a fair and impartial verdict based on the evidence? And they all say yes to varying degrees of certainty. But one guy, it was clear that he was not a Trump fan. One of the lawyers for the Trump Organization asked him, well, why do you think you can be fair then? And he said, listen, the guy has no morals. He's a criminal. He's a fraud. But he's caused so much damage in such a large scale that something like this, kind of a small potatoes case, I could be fair on that. So obviously he was struck from the panel.
The prosecutors told prospective jurors that the government's star witness may be reluctant to answer questions. What is Weisselberg's position? He's not cooperating with the prosecutors, but he's testifying in this trial.
So
where's his line?
Good question. He is not necessarily cooperating with the DA's investigation of Donald Trump, the person. However, once a last-minute attempt to get this case thrown out in early August failed, and it was going to go to trial, you know, he did the math and made a very rational decision. And he and his lawyers reached a deal with the DA's office. If I plead guilty to the charges you've been filed, can you cap my jail time at 5 months? And the prosecutors agreed to it. And as part of that agreement, he has to testify truthfully at trial. So there's a bit of risk here for the DA's office. However, if Weisselberg abides by that and testifies truthfully, and he's asked about whether or not any of these perks went to Trump family members, you know, A, I think they'll be able to prove that because they have the documentation. But B, who knew about it, and did the recipients know that this is something that probably would cause problems on taxes? That is probably going to be the most interesting part of the trial, his testimony and that fine line that he's trying to straddle between not cooperating against Donald Trump because he's not been cast out of Trump land yet. And because he's on leave of absence, I think Trump is paying his legal bills. So it's a very delicate dance. It's not a simple plea deal with cooperation.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Greg Farrell speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLaw Go. And futures this morning. Well, S&P futures are now little change. Dow futures are up 100. NASDAQ futures are down 50. Are being led lower by companies including Meta Platforms, which is falling about 20% in early trading after reporting earnings. 10-year Treasury down 14/32nds, yield 4.06%, and the yield on the 2-year 4.44%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.